I mean, maybe you love your boss, and all of a sudden you walk in and you know you've done the best job yesterday on something. You worked hard on that, and you come in and say, "My boss, I know he's going to say that's the best job he ever seen." And you walk in all happy. What did you think about that yesterday? He said, "Well, it wasn't too good." What? I worked hard. You might not say nothing to him, but boy, you're burning up on the inside. You walk out that door and say, "I can't believe this. That guy don't know how hard I worked to get that done for him yesterday. How dare him say that wasn't good enough?" But if when he said that, you should have said, "Well, how can we make this better? What can I do to make this better?" And the Lord says, "Oh, you just passed your test. Now you're going to make it really good." See? Isn't that amazing? Unfortunately, I don't pass all my tests. Do you? No, you're going to be truthful. You don't pass, you're just like me. Let's go back here and let's see what happened to Job's sin. See what?
She passes her test because she's not human.
Oh, praise the Lord. "I am innocent. I have no guilt. God is picking a quarrel with me." How many of you ever felt like that? Hey, this is what Job's saying too. "And he considers me his enemy." How many of you ever felt like that? That God was totally against you. He was putting you to the test. In fact, I know people, and you're going to know what I'm going to talk about. I know people that when they had the test, maybe a wife died or child died, or a real test came upon them, and they got angry with God and turned their back on Him, and they ain't never spoken to God, ain't never went to church again since that day, and they hate God. You know anybody like that? I do. Sure. I know people like that. They failed their test. You know, if those people don't repent, you know where they'll spend eternity? In hell. God's no respecter of persons. He will put you to the test. He says He will in His Word. So believe Him. Job says even, "I have no guilt. I'm innocent. God is picking a quarrel with me. And He considers me His enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. And He watches me my every move." You think God watches your every move? But little Esau says, "But you're wrong. And I will show you why. For God is greater than any human being." How many of you believe that? We have no clue how great and awesome God is. I cannot even begin to imagine a God that can know every hair on your head and every hair on mine too. That's just two of us. But how He knows every hair on everybody's head in the world. And every time one falls out, His computer shows him. And every time a new one grows back, it shows him. Yeah, that's a little more than I can conceive, huh? So why do we question Him and what He's doing? Because we don't look at Him like He is. We don't understand Him. We only see and know what we live in. So we think God's like us. But He's not. He's so far superior to you and me. Wow. So why are you bringing a charge against God? Some people do that. You know it? Why say He does not respond to people's complaints? For God speaks again and again. How does He speak one way? His Word. Somebody says, "You know, I would give anything to hear that audible voice of God like you say you've heard." I said, "Sit down there. I'll let you hear it right now." "What?" They sat down and I said, "Let me read a verse out of the Bible somewhere and you get to hear His voice." Is that right, Jim? I mean, anytime you want to hear God's voice, all you got to do is open His Word and read it. This is His voice, right? You give voice to His Word. That's how we hear His, that's one way He speaks to us through this book. In this book, if He tells you in this book, "Do not sin," how do we interpret that? But we said, "Well, you know, God, you know, we couldn't possibly not sin." Be ye perfect. I had a guy one day come in here, and I was teaching some of these things in a Bible study class one night. And he looked at me and said, "Now, I guess the next thing you're going to say, God expects us to be perfect." He said, "You know God don't expect us to be perfect." I said, "I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole." I said, "Open your Bible to Matthew 5:48, and you read it out loud and see what Matthew 5:48 says." And he opened his Bible. And y'all come in. Praise the Lord. He said, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So what do you think that means? Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, do you think you can't achieve that? Somebody said, "No, I can't do that." Okay, then you can't. So you might as well not even try. But God told you you could. But he didn't say it would be without trials and tests, did he, brother? He speaks to his people again and again, though people do not recognize it. Wonder how many times he spoke to me before I heard him the first time. There ain't no telling. There ain't no telling how many times he spoke to me. You know, I think about right there when he says he speaks to us again and again. I think about another minister I know that started a healing minister also. And when he first started it, him and his little board, he was traveling around a little, kind of like I do, only he was going by himself. He did like I did at first. There wasn't nobody but me at first. I used to go to the churches. I used to make the tapes. I used to mail him. I was a one-man show for a long time. And then God saw that, he made the ministry bigger, and he had to bring a whole bunch of people to help me. But this guy was little, and he didn't have hardly nobody. And he said, one day we were just about out of money. And he said, "Lord, I don't know what's going on, but we don't have money to pay the bills." He said, "Lord, we got to have some money. Somebody's got to do something." He said, "Lord, please show me what I've done wrong or what I need to do so the money will come in." And so he said, I walked outside my room to get on the elevator to go down to preach. And he said, a guy walked up to me and said, "Oh, you're John Doe, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "By the way, where do you tithe off of your ministry?" He said, it ain't none of your business where I tithe off my ministry." So I said, I got in the elevator and went down. I got down there and I got out to the car. The taxi was going to pick me up, and I started to get in the car and I walked out. I said, "Hey, you're John Doe, aren't you?" He said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Where do you tithe off your ministry?" He said, I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? I ain't never had nobody ask me that question. Who was it speaking to him? What did he just ask God? "Why do I not have no money?" The Lord said, "Where are you tithing off your ministry?" He said, "We ain't tithing off our ministry. It ain't none of your business." See, God speaks again and again. We don't listen. So he said, I got to thinking, hey, I asked God why I don't have no money. He said, and he sent two people within a matter of a few minutes to ask me where I'm tithing. He said, "I'm not tithing. We're using all this for God's glory." So he said, I go back, I get my board, and the lady's taking care of the finances. I said, "How much money do we have left?" She said, "Just about $1,000 is all we have left in the whole bank account." He said, "Find a good ministry that's producing fruit for the kingdom and write them a check for every penny in the bank and send it to them." He said, we sent that check. And he said, that day, more money came in than I ever dreamed of. And he said, we have tithed off of every penny since. And he said, our ministry has never been in the red since that day. Now see, when God speaks again and again, he asks God, why do I have no money? God sent men to tell him just like that. But he won't hear it. You need to stop sinning because you don't want to be sick. I ain't sinning. You need to get rid of that evil eye or you're going to be sick. Lord, I don't have an evil eye. You know, you'd be amazed at what God will send people by to talk to you. He says right here, he speaks to you again and again, and we don't listen. He might ever had anybody just walk up to you in church and say something to you? You thought, where did that come from? How did they know that? And they might not have had a clue what they said. That's just like one of the Baptist preachers out there, Justin, that used to be there years ago. When he got ready to leave there, he came to me and said, "Thurman, I ain't never seen a prophet in my life till I come here." I said, what do you mean? I said, we don't have no prophets here. We don't believe in them. He said, you're the closest thing to it I've ever seen. I said, what do you mean? I never prophesied to you. He said, you have no idea how many times I'm praying and asking God what I need to preach upon. And he said, you'll start to walk out the door, you'll shake my hand and say, brother, you know, a message on this sure would be good. And he said, I'd think, you know, that would be good. And he said, I'd preach on that. And he said, the next Sunday, five people come and say, that was perfect. That's exactly what I needed. And he thought, So he said, you don't have no idea how many times I prayed that. And every Sunday after I'd prayed that, you'd walk out and tap me on the shoulder and say, brother, you know, a message on this sure would be good. And he said, I'd go to the Word and research how to preach on it. And he said, the compliments I'd get would be awesome. He said, you're the closest thing to a prophet in the Baptist church I ever seen. I didn't even know why I was doing this. How, now, what can God do? All you got to do is make your tongue available to Him, right? So when He moves on you and tells you, hey, speak to the brother right there and tell him it would be nice if he preached on this. I'd have that thought. Well, who was that telling me? That was the Lord. Because He wanted His people to be set free. But we don't listen, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of thought of the night. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night. How many of you have ever had a dream or a vision? Everybody has. And you know what lots of us do? Lots of us, when we have a dream, we wake up rebuking the devil. And it ain't the devil. It's God. Is that right? Yeah, it's God. I mean, I can think of a good one there. My own wife. You know, when Cheryl was having that dream that night, when she had the dream that she was going to marry me, her pastor, she woke up rebuking the devil. She thought that was the devil. It turned out not to be the devil. It turned out to be God. Isn't that amazing? You know, but you see how God speaks to us in dreams and visions. And He's trying to get our attention. Then look what He says. With deep sleep, or when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds, He whispers in their ear.
Praise the Lord. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. If the teaching you've just heard, if you would like that in its entirety, if you would call our ministry at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can also order all of our entire teachings, which we have hundreds of them, on the website at tlsm.org. www.tlm.org. tlsm.org. And there you can go to the free teachings. You can order whatever you want. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.